good morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Oh, it indeed is a good morning. Hello. Good morning, Salem. I'm Stacy Ann. So glad to be with you on this Friday, October 2nd. Joining me in the studio this morning, oh, I feel so honored, my co-host for today, Terry.
You know, when I was asked to come in here, they told me that there'd be some donuts and bagels and stuff that would be here when I got here. Where are they at?
I know. We need to let go of that person who said
I'm
they were
going to. I'm telling you. I think it was the boss, too. She said, oh, yeah, there'll be all kinds of snacks for you. I haven't seen nothing here.
I was waiting for the parade.
We're supposed to have a parade, too?
Yeah, you know, and the balloons and all of that. No, we get to create.
Yeah, look at my contracting.
I know. We got to create our own fun around here. Good morning. How are the roads coming in
the
today?
The roads are fine, but, you know, I had to get up at the crack of dawn here. It's not even dawn yet.
I know.
I don't get up and drive around here when it's dark.
Well,
that's why
I say it's an honor to have you here, because mornings aren't your thing. Mornings are my thing.
Yeah.
I'm in my zone, right? And about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm like, ooh, I need a nap.
Do you take naps in the afternoon?
I try to.
I'm a 1:30 napper.
Mm.
And today I've got my granddaughter, and so I'm going to tell her today we're taking a nap.
Oh, good.
And so we're going to do the old nap.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that when I take a nap for a couple of hours from 1 to about 3 o'clock, man, I wake up at 3 o'clock and I feel great. And she says, well, good, then start dinner.
Oh, lucky you.
Yeah.
You're
wrong.
Like, I should have stayed in bed.
Wrong. But well, no, it's exciting to get up here and drive to work when it's still dark.
It is,
yeah.
And we get to break the morning with everybody listening in this morning. And as we move now to 2 hours.
Yeah, what's that all about?
Here's the interesting thing. You know, the hours just go so fast when it's just 1 hour and we bring guests in. But now we're into 2 hours, and yesterday went so fast. We had different guests, you know, each hour. And we're really trying to figure out what our listeners want to hear in these 2 hours. And
so you haven't received the memo this morning that went out?
Which
you're going
was
to
that?
4 hours next
oh,
week.
Oh, my. We better enter in some
yes.
music. You know, my longest shift I think I've ever done was during a blizzard in radio, because I've been in radio now for almost... And it was mostly music, mostly Christian music, and I think during a blizzard when we had to stay on the air and give conditions and through the night and do the tower readings and stuff. I think the longest time
Tower readings.
Remember that?
I remember
the day?
Yeah.
It was like 8 hours.
Yeah, I got
you
your
know,
beat. I got your beat.
Tell me about it. What?
I did, when I was working at KLOK in San Jose, I was doing, 6 to midnight.
Mm-hmm.
And then our midnight guy called in sick at close to midnight.
Oh, no.
And I called the program director, and he says, well, stay on. And I says, for how long? He says, well, I'll get somebody down there. It wasn't until 6 o'clock the next morning, so it was a 12-hour radio shift.
Oh, my goodness.
And you get a little bit loopy there, and, you know, that station was just as tight as this one is. I was looking around for the donuts and didn't see anything anywhere, so no donuts, no coffee,
no
nothing.
Donuts. No donuts, yes. I think so many of us are working on that COVID-20,
yeah.
You know, COVID-19, but you gain 20 pounds during that time.
Oh,
that
I get it. But I'm bum.
I'll let you use that in your.
And I will, too. I will.
We could come up with all kinds of fun things this morning. So what's the weather like today? You've been out.
I don't know. It's dark. How am I supposed to see?
Ashley,
good morning. It is 50 degrees right now, and we are expecting some cloudy skies through mid-morning. There was some fog when I came in this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Going over I-5 and Kaiser up there, a little bit of fog. But once I go over here to Lancaster, you're kind of cleaned up right now. And the high today should be around 77 degrees. Tonight, increasing clouds with the lows around 54. And then this weekend, 77 degrees. That's perfect weather for me. I love it. That's perfect weather.
We're transitioning into that fall.
Yeah.
And I don't know. What's your favorite season?
Probably the fall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love my perfect temperature is 74 degrees.
Me too.
I could live on 74 degrees, and people go, no, that's too cold. And no, it's fine. It's fine.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yes, I love the 70s. In the 70s,
yeah.
That range is
Are you into heat at all?
I don't do well.
I don't either.
I don't do well. I hide from the sun directly when it's so hot.
Yeah.
And
well, you're kind of fair skin too.
It's the fair skin. I don't tan. I freckle.
Yeah.
You can use that one too.
I will. I'm writing these down.
But it certainly is fun to be in those hot climates for,
no, it's not.
You know, like a
no,
day
it's
or
not.
Two. Maybe
no,
2 hours.
No. You know, when we go down and do our shows in Vegas, we'll get off the airplane there, and it'll be 104, 105 degrees.
Oh,
and
yes.
Well, the last time I was down there, we stayed at the Plaza because we're doing our shows there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bank right across the street, and I remember getting up at about 2 o'clock in the morning to go relieve myself. And I looked out at the window there, and it still said 104 degrees. I thought, are you kidding? Are you kidding? That has to be broken. They go, no, it really is.
And it's such a, in Vegas, it's such a dry heat, right?
Yeah.
It's a different kind of heat.
It's
even
just
in
hot.
Here, it's just hot.
It's just hot.
Yeah, you walk outside, and your skin's like, I need water.
I did a show one time in Tampa, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And the promoter put us up at a hotel there that didn't have a restaurant. And so you get in usually a day early, and we had to, there was a 7-Eleven there, and I told my wife, I said, I'm going to go across the street and get us something to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I took a shower, and then I ran across the street and came back and had to take another shower because of the humidity. It's horrible.
That's like Arkansas.
Yeah.
It's really, even this last couple of weeks that we were there, oh my goodness.
And you like that stuff?
Well, I think you get acclimated to it once you're there.
No, you don't.
I think I did, but being away from it,
yeah.
I like our climate here.
Yeah.
I think this fits me the best, even more than South Dakota, because in South Dakota they have two seasons. They have winter and construction. There's another one you can use.
Right, you give me a lot of material. I lived in Denver years ago, and I remember getting up one morning, and it was real nice, and my wife says, let's go lay outside. And so okay, we did. This is about 11 o'clock. We're outside laying out in the sun, and by noon, it was snowing. It comes over the Rockies so fast, and it just hits you.
It just transitioned.
Yeah.
And truly, everywhere I've lived, they said, if you don't like the weather, wait 10 minutes.
Yeah.
That really was the case there.
Have you ever laid out in the sun there, and all of a sudden the snow comes down? It's kind of a weird feeling.
I have not.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I have been in the mountains here, in the Jefferson Wilderness here in Oregon. When I was probably about summer of when I was 19 years old, we went on a backpacking trip. This is one of those things where you take everything in and bring everything out, right?
Right.
You're a superhero. I don't know how many 14-mile hike in, you know, in the Jefferson Wilderness in the 80s.
And you walked that?
And we all went in, and there was a group of us, a youth group and leaders, and we all walked in, and we set up our tents, and that night we got a snowstorm. And it was warm going up.
Right.
And we got into a snowstorm. It was like the 1st of July. And by the time we had to pack everything up because everything was wet, freezing cold, and by the time we walked out and got to the bottom of the hill and drove down to Detroit Lake, we laid out all of our clothes all alongside the hill there, and we were playing in the water. I mean, just a contrast like that. So I've experienced that here.
That fast. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me turn that down.
Oh, are we getting a report on something?
Yeah, they got some traffic issues going on right now.
Okay.
Were you a chaperone or a guide then? Or
at that point, I was like a chaperone in training. And so there were younger students with us, like middle schoolers and things like that. And so I'd been on a couple of these adventures, but it was quite the adventure, and that was right here in Oregon.
I don't know how much time we have left on this segment here, but
about 5 minutes.
Okay, then I can tell you, I chaperoned one time, and then I got fired.
Uh-oh.
They didn't want me chaperoning. My son, when he turned, I think it was 14 or 15. They have a trip to Washington, D.C., and they were looking for a male chaperone because they had 45 girls and 5 boys. And so they, you know, says, hey, would you do it? I go, sure, I can do that. My idea of chaperoning 5 guys would be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just behave, guys. And I was working across town at the other radio station there, and I was doing call-ins. And one of the visits that we had was at Arlington National Cemetery.
Right.
And we told, the bus was full. Our bus was exactly full. So if there was one empty seat, we knew somebody hasn't gotten on the bus yet.
Right.
So I'm doing my call in here, and I'm talking about blah, 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 blah. I'm here at Arlington National Cemetery and blah, blah. And I happen to glance up, and I see the taillights of the bus going down the street. And I thought, what the hell? They just left me, you know? So we give all the kids a card, and it says, if you get lost, call this 800 number, give him your ID number, and they'll do it. So I called. I go, yeah, the bus left without me. And the woman on the other side said, okay, I want you to stay calm. I go, I'm calm. And she says, give me your ID number. So I give her the ID number. She says, are you one of the chaperones?
Oh.
And I go, yes. She goes, and you missed the bus? I go, yes, I did. Could you have it turn around and come back? Well, the sad thing about it was the bus went all the way to the next stop. My son was on the bus. never even noticed Dad wasn't here. And so I got back there, and I walked in there, and they go, how'd you miss the bus? I go, shut up. Just shut up. You know. So I wasn't asked to chaperone the following year. They just said, no more.
So
no.
You're the one that needed
I was the
chaperone.
One that got lost. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, and she kept telling me, stay calm, stay calm. I'm calm. Just get the bus back here. You know.
Oh.
She says to me, she says, well, is there anybody there you could talk to? I go, no, they're all dead. I'm in a cemetery.
People are dying, you know? To get in there.
Yeah, but I'm. So,
oh, Arlington Cemetery, boy, that is an experience in
oh,
and of
beautiful.
Itself.
It's
I could
beautiful
see where you
sight.
Would go long doing a remote there
oh,
because
yeah.
it is an incredible place.
Yeah.
And there's so much history.
You know, the weirdest part was I was with a group of young teenagers, and when you go up to the come on, I'm drawing a blank right here. This is my old age kicking in here. The Tomb of the Unknown
mm-hmm.
Soldier. All of a sudden, everybody got real quiet.
Oh, yeah, stoic.
And, you know, just
very.
You just, yeah, mm-hmm. and you watch these guys, and you watch them go through their procedure, and even the changing of the guard, it's just so impressive.
Everything's so precise
yeah.
and so consistent.
Yeah.
And so I was just in awe watching that.
Yeah, have you been there before?
I have.
Yeah.
We had an opportunity to go during the inauguration. I was invited to go to Trump's inauguration.
Oh, were you?
Uh-huh.
Oh, excuse me.
Uh-huh. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And so we got to go to Arlington, and we got to go to Lincoln Memorial and some of these places that are pretty significant,
right.
and it was incredible.
Did you go into the White House?
No.
I did.
At that point, I had not.
I did.
No. I wanted to wait until Trump actually had taken possession yeah. of the White House before.
I went into it. It was under when Clinton was still
mm-hmm.
there. And, of course, being the smart aleck that I am, we were walking through the red room there, and I wiped my finger on a table. I says, boy, they sure don't dust in here often. And the guy with the biggest arms I've ever seen in my life walked up and says, please don't touch anything in this house.
Ooh.
And I, okay. And my son's going, Dad, knock it off. Just knock it off. Don't get us arrested in here. They'll never see us again.
Again, the son being the chaperone. More
pretty
so.
Much. Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So that sounded like a pretty neat deal.
Oh, it was
there.
Incredible. You know,
oh.
just to be able to say you're in the White House and, mm-hmm. and look around. I mean, it was just fabulous.
On a different trip to D.C., we walked around the White House
yeah.
And got a chance to peer in, but it was during the Obama administration. And I just really hadn't had any interest, you know. Certainly I'd been to see senators and into Congress and all of that.
Right.
That was pretty amazing too. And
yeah,
just the rich history that's painted in the walls inside the rotunda there, the Capitol, is
and
incredible.
And the ceiling, isn't that just
mm-hmm.
beautiful? I mean, those
mm-hmm.
those colors are so vibrant. It's just
yes.
you look up there and go, wow.
And it
I almost got arrested in there.
You did there too?
Yeah, I had problems there too.
The same trip?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it was a rough trip. It was a rough trip.
Did you forget your knife or something?
No,
or?
Close. Close. We were going through, this was before 9/11,
mm-hmm.
and we were going through, the security check that they had was like three different security checks that we had to go through,
mm-hmm.
and my son had my backpack, and I'm throwing it up on top. Are we getting out of close in time
you
here?
You got a little bit, like 30 seconds.
Catch on.
Okay,
way
we'll get it on the other side. We've got more stories with Terry. And I, as we continue the conversation this morning, if you can't tell, it's Random Friday. Yes, Random Friday. If you want to join in the conversation with your topic, you can give us a call, 503-589-1220.
Bring us some donuts.
Yeah, donuts and coffee. That sounds good right now.
Glaze.
We'll be back after this. Good morning, Salem. Together on this Friday, October 2nd. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this
Still
Friday.
Still looking for donuts.
I know, donuts. Your favorite donut is?
Glaze.
Glazed
donut.
You know
yeah.
what I like?
What?
I like, and it's just terrible, full of sugar. I like the donuts that are filled filled with the cream.
Yes.
Not the yellow, but the white cream.
Yeah.
Oh, and
yeah.
Really, so I, you know, if I could do the glazed or I could do the chocolate on top. And...
Don't you have like a long album we can put on and go get some donuts someplace?
I wonder where the closest place, maybe you know? Maybe Safeway or something like that. But yes, donuts sound good right about now. And,
sounded good
and,
an hour ago.
And speaking of that, you know, I've been toying with this idea.
What's that?
And I don't want to forget your story because your story was good. But I've been thinking about... finding ways to honor our frontline workers. And I thought,
first responders
and looking ways, you know, maybe like donuts and coffee or certificates or bringing a dozen or two dozen donuts to their, you know, to their station or,
right,
you know, to
right.
where they're at or their shift change or something like that. But I didn't know if that would be offensive. You know, we live in a day where everything's so offensive, but it's always kind of fun.
You know what? It's not offensive. It's not. My son, I've talked about this a thousand times. He's a paramedic up in Portland. And we brought him up a bunch of coffees the other day,
mm-hmm.
and the guys just, I mean, they loved it.
Oh,
they
good.
Loved it.
So looking for ways that we can,
sure.
and I thought here at the station and with our listeners, you know, maybe on Fridays we could take take listeners' suggestions in their community,
right.
and this is the, you know, and do a little write-up and say, you were selected for this Friday's, you know, yada, 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 whatever we named it.
And you know what? When you talk about first responders, it doesn't matter if it's police, fire, medical, whatever. They are the most awesome people.
Mm-hmm.
They are so incredible. My son, who I'm so proud of, he saves lives every day. And this is a kid that I could not get to go clean his room.
Mm.
You know, go make your bed. Oh, I don't want to. Now he's out there saving lives.
I love it.
And I'm so proud of him. And he just got hired on as an instructor now, too, because he's doing that. But it's just... You know, it's incredible what they do, what they go through. And the part that saddens me about anything is that now they had all of the paramedics have been fit for bulletproof vests.
Mm.
And they have to wear that. And I thought, why? Why do they have to have a bulletproof vest as a paramedic? Because they're there to try to help people. But, you know, it's the
and
way it is
not
nowadays.
Wearing all that the vests, the extra things that you have
sure.
to put on, to me is more of an obstacle too when you're trying to be
exactly.
in the moment. And I have so much honor for those that run towards trouble when everybody else is trying to run away,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I even think about 9/11 and
right.
and getting back to your story at the Capitol. I want to talk a little bit about that.
Here,
you got in trouble, so you know, the same kinds of people that are securing things thought maybe you were a little trouble that day?
Well, you know, I think they probably thought I was trouble the entire trip.
Oh.
Because it seemed like we got into trouble everywhere we went. Well, I got into trouble everywhere I went, but that's because of my smart aleck mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But we were going through the Capitol there, and they had several different security checkpoints there. And my son was using my backpack there, and he's standing right behind me, and we're getting ready to go through. And he takes the backpack off and sticks it on the conveyor belt. And he goes, "Hey, Dad." And I go, "Yeah." He goes, "I got a gun in there." As it's going through the conveyor belt, going underneath there. And I spun around. I says, "What?" And he says, because the day before we went to Mount Vernon,
mm-hmm.
and he bought a replica George Washington pistol.
Oh.
And it was a metal pistol. And he goes, "Yeah, I got a gun yesterday." And I said, "Where did you get a gun yesterday? You know, we're 3,000 miles from home." And he told me, and it went through. They never spotted it.
Oh, wow.
And the guy who put the whole tour together was standing behind him, and he goes, "Your son has a gun," and I, you know, and it's like, "Ryan, what are you trying to do to me?" But no, they never spotted him.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was real surprised. And this was prior to 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
But
they're more sophisticated now.
I would think so.
I know it seems like the times I've traveled, especially the one time I was traveling internationally, I forgot that I had water. And so when you change from national to international, you have to go through security again. And in the in-between, I'd gotten a bottle of water, and I'd tighten the lid and put it in my bag, not thinking that I would have to go through another. And I, oh, beep, 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 oh, this big deal. I'm bringing water on an international flight. And
really?
So it was quite a big deal. Now, this was after 9/11, so
right.
maybe they've gotten
right.
a little more advanced. But again, talking about all those people on the front, you know, working, our first responders, our frontline folks, you know, ways to honor. I'd be interested to hear from our listeners ways and ideas that we could maybe
well,
come
open up
with.
The phones.
Yeah,
is there a number they can call us
yeah.
at?
Yeah, do you have it there? Do you
sure,
know
it's a 503 589-1220. Give us a holler and we'll chat. And
we'll love to hear. Or maybe there's something you've done with first responders. Maybe you've had an encounter even with the fires right now. Yeah. And certainly a lot of them are pretty exhausted. And
we take maybe twice a year. Patty will make some kind of a dish and we'll take it over to the fire department, which is right down the street from us, and just give it to the guys and say, here, have dinner on us tonight.
Well,
and they love it.
I think kind of the idea of being connected to your local fire department is really smart. I like the idea.
Yeah, they've come to help me many times.
And supporting them, encouraging them, and being visible, I think, is so important.
Right.
And they used to be able to do community things, but now with COVID, everything's kind of been shut down.
The fire department, there's a show called Fire or Live Rescue on Friday and Saturday nights now that Patty and I got hooked on, and it follows different fire agencies around the country. And these guys, they'll do everything and anything for you.
Yes.
I mean, they're the most awesome people they are. And, I mean, they love helping people. And like you said, when a plane crashes into a building, everybody's running out, they're running in.
Yes.
And I mean, it's just incredible.
And even these fires where people are in the sheriff department, I heard the state police, they're knocking on doors trying to evacuate people during the fires. And they're running, keep going in as everybody is trying to get out. Pretty
right.
incredible stories. And we're starting to hear more and more about, driving away and tires melting off and cars, things in the road, running over, running barefoot. We're hearing all of these stories. So I think it's important that we find a way to show our love and support to those that are making a difference in our community.
That's right. Well, the phones are open right now, 503-589-1220, 503-589, I just memorized that, 1220.
You did it.
And, I'll be out in front right there looking for some glazed donuts to come by. I'm pushing for that. Have you noticed?
Yeah, be careful what you ask for.
Yeah.
You might get a few of them out there.
Oh, wow.
Yes, you're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, and we're having so much fun hanging out on this random Friday. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on nationally when we come back from this break. I'm sure you've already heard, you've been drinking your coffee and you turned on the morning news on TV. We'll get around to it right after this. News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann, and my co-host this morning, Terry Soul. So glad to have
good
you along,
morning,
Terry.
Good morning.
I'm watching you dance over there. You kind of have a little beat going on.
It's a little beat going on. Very little beat.
You're waking
going
up
on.
As
yeah,
we go along. And
get me up at this godly hour.
You have been such a great sport this morning, knowing that you're up so early. And we have. I kind of waited until the bottom of the hour here to get into some of the news so you can wake up a little bit. Because I know you have some insight on some of this stuff. And certainly, as I woke up, I get up about 4:45-ish in the morning, And
there's a 4:45 in the morning? I didn't know that.
And turn on the news out of Portland to see what's going on. And first thing I hear this morning is that our president and his wife have tested positive for COVID.
Yeah, he told Sean Hannity last night in an interview that they had been tested last night, but they didn't have the results back yet, so they were just kind of waiting. So apparently they got him back.
And one of his advisors close to him that traveled with him to, I believe, one of the latest rallies that he had, had tested positive, and she had direct contact. And it is an interesting time that we live in, and I think all day long we're going to hear through this radio station and all our commentary that we have throughout the day how the rippling effect and how this can possibly play out. But I do think having the leader of the free world have COVID and his wife and how they handle this is really a way to see how this plays out, you know.
My only hope is that, and I know it's going to go that direction, but my only hope is that the other side doesn't take cheap shots at this thing, and you know they're going to.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy Pelosi's probably already sitting there thinking, what can I say now? How can I stir this up? But, you know, he didn't give it to the vice president or former vice president, like they're going to say. That's going to come out here real soon. Mm. And, you know, I think they should just, you know, this is our president, for crying out loud.
Right.
Did you watch the debate?
I did.
What did you think of it?
Well, as I watched it, I was frustrated. That was my emotion, because it's like I know there's content in there somewhere, you
right.
know. As I rewatched it and had my evaluation, I wasn't so disturbed by the arguing, bickering back and forth. I realized something.
What's that?
I realized the first one to interrupt was Vice President Joe Biden. He interrupted President Trump.
Four times before the president fought back.
Right.
Four interruptions. Yeah.
And that to me was like, game on.
Yeah.
Game on. But guess who took the brunt of it?
Yeah.
President Trump. And I really, looking at it again, took the opinion that he really was debating two people. And my hint to...
Which surprised me.
Yes.
I was surprised.
My hint to the presidential commission... My suggestion, I think it's not the role of the moderator to commentate before you ask a question.
Right.
I understand maybe he thought he had to set up the question, but just ask a question and however they interpret it, let them interpret it.
Right.
But it was like he's trying to corner him into an answer, you know, and it's like I've seen this on Congress. Just answer the question yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes you can answer the question yes or no, but when you have that commentary on the head before a question, I think it's very dangerous, and it's not being an unbiased moderator, in my opinion.
Judge Judy.
Exactly.
She should be the moderator, don't you think? Put Judge Judy in there.
She don't let anybody go out of bounds.
No. But the one part that bothered me more than anything in the entire debate was, you knew Trump was going to fight. He's a fighter. That's what he's going to do. But what bothered me more than anything was being told, shut up and you're a clown. And I thought, you just talk to the president of the United States. You don't tell him to shut up, number one.
Mm-hmm.
You don't call him names.
Mm-hmm.
I just was really, it pissed me off to sit there and just, come on. And it's like nobody has said anything about it. No. They just kind of let it go. Yeah.
No, it's acceptable behavior
to
do that. But,
no, it's
but
not.
It is not acceptable. And but in this day and age where there's so much tolerance and, we've got to, you know, this and that, and yet this is not, should not be tolerated. It's the president of the United States. And the other thing that he had said, he had called him the worst president in history. I mean, just constant little nitpicky and interrupting him while he's talking, you know, and would never directly answer a question, not even from Chris Wallace.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you think, I know that there was talk before that they were going to have an earpiece maybe in Biden's head telling him what to say. Do you think, because he seemed like he was a little bit sharper than he normally is?
Well, in the fact, what makes me think he might have had some kind of help is the fact that he would not let anybody check and see if he had anything.
Right.
To me, that's indicating that there was some kind of help of some sort.
Yeah.
I can't tell you what. There's not been any verified reason. But I do think that there was something positive that they did not shake hands. If indeed he was a symptomatic, President Trump, you know, they didn't shake hands. So, and they were more than 6 feet apart.
Right,
and
right.
I don't even think, they barely even looked at each other. I don't know if you can catch it by looking at each other. Because, you know, when you go to the store and you have your mask, you don't look at people.
I look at everybody.
I do too.
I'm so nosy. I want to know what everybody's doing. I even talk to other people that my wife says, do you know them? No, then shut up. You know, but
it's,
I love talking.
It's part of being an extrovert, don't you think?
I think so.
Well, and when we think about the debate and we think about this next debate now, of course, it's pushed out a ways, I think, you know, past the quarantine time.
Right,
I know there's going to be a vice president debate. I'm looking
next Tuesday.
I am looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's in Salt Lake, I think, or
I
Utah.
There is something very presidential about Pence.
Yeah, I kind of like him.
I really like him. I really like him.
And do you know who I really like?
Who?
I'm in love with our first lady.
Oh, you and everybody.
Oh, is she the most beautiful woman inside and out?
She really is a picture of first lady. Yeah. It really glamorous, educated, brilliant. You know,
she speaks several different languages.
Several languages, and I know in my lifetime. And I think you and I had a discussion earlier in the week about where was I when Kennedy was assassinated. I wasn't even here yet. But I know that Jack Kennedy, his wife, has been like the measuring, you know, she's like the epitome of the first lady. And I think Melania definitely is in that.
You know what I like? She's to me, she's classy. Mm-hmm. If you ever see her, I mean, I like to see her in a T-shirt and a pair of old blue jeans, but she'll never see that.
No.
She's just such a classy person.
Yep.
And she's just, I don't know, there's something about her.
Elegant is the word.
Yeah.
And I have
a picture. She sent me an autographed picture. I have it framed in my office at home.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife says, what do you got that? And I go, look at it. See, the hair or Marie Osmond? Which one do you want? one of the two. Take your pick.
I love it. That's so fun. And that's the beauty of where we're at right now is that we have someone to look up to, and a first lady. And it's unfortunate.
Let's call her.
Wouldn't that be fun to get her on?
Don't you have her number? I mean, you know, you go to the White House all the time.
I'm connected somewhat, but
1-800 First Lady.
She'd probably talk to us, knowing her. She's so down to earth, and I love what she's doing as far as families. And she's always, when she talked to the RNC, she talked about the family.
Right.
You know, she's just a great leader, and I think it's time that we look at that and evaluate that. Now, I don't know about Joe Biden's wife. I don't know anything about
Dr.
her.
Dr. Jill?
Yeah, I don't know.
She was married before she met Joe, and they interviewed her husband last week, and he says, she had an affair with Joe while we were still married.
Oh, boy.
And I thought, that's what I said, too. I thought, really? I did not know that.
Hmm.
And so,
wow.
That's interesting.
You know, it is interesting what the media chooses to put out there, right, or dig into or investigate. And I was interesting yesterday listening to Levin and his—
Isn't he fun?
Oh, he is so fun, and he has some facts. And he was hitting pretty hard the fact that they were trying to corner our president to denounce white supremacy. And it's interesting because they're trying to say he won't do it when he's done it all of his life. And even I know people significantly close to President Trump who said he doesn't see color. You know, he doesn't see male or female. In fact, there are more women working in this administration around President Trump than any other presidential administration. So when we talk about equity in human life and how he's protected from natural conception to natural death is phenomenal.
And what a lot of people don't know about him is if you ever have the chance to meet him, he's such a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's not this rough guy that the media portrays him. He's really a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he will say that Johnny Carson once was my hero that I always wanted to do an interview with. Johnny Carson and Kent McCord from Adam 12. And I got my Kent McCord one, but I couldn't get Carson. But Carson said, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's going on in your personal life or your professional life, when you have a guest, you give them 100%.
That's right.
And that's what Trump does. When he sits down and talks with you, you're it.
Yes.
You know, he will talk with you, and you know, he generally cares and wants to hear what you have to say.
And you talk
doesn't want to hear what I have to say, but he wants to hear what you have to say.
I bet he would want to hear what you have to say.
Let's call him.
A very generous man too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very generous. I've heard stories throughout his lifetime of how he has done things unbeknownst to people. Oftentimes they find out later it was
the
president.
Airplane one was the one that really did. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
A few, he wasn't even president yet, and there was an individual that was on life support in Los Angeles that needed to go to the East Coast, and the airlines couldn't accommodate him because of all the equipment. And Trump set his plane out there. Says,
incredible.
And no, we don't need to talk about it. Just get the plane out there.
And what is it? What is the salary of a president?
400,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what it is?
Something like that.
Yeah.
And so for the last 3 years, going on 4 years, he has donated. Every quarter he donates to a different charity. And it's pretty phenomenal to think about that. And if you think about this, Terry, here's another something you could talk about in your comedy act. He's the first president to move into governmental housing out of all of our...
Exactly.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, Random Friday. We're kind of talking, we're all over, popcorn all over, talking about it. this morning. If you'd like to join the conversation, have a topic that you want to talk about, give us a call, 503-589-1220. We'll be back after this. Enjoying the fall as much as I am. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann, together with my co-host for the day, Terry Saul. And Terry, you know, I'm so thankful for our sponsors who step up, especially during COVID, and
sure.
said, you know, I want to advertise on your station.
Right.
And we're very thankful for Dave and Paige Smith. They stepped up. In fact, I met them at a rally to open up Oregon and got to visiting with Dave and just really, really impressed. He was on the show this week and just his insight and the help that he has given to families who are looking to either transition into something different, bigger, whether they're going bigger or smaller. Certainly maybe moving out of the area, you know, because they're like, I'm so over Oregon, I'm going to move away.
Right.
There's a lot of different scenarios. And it's interesting, you know, I've got some family. It's like, it's my Uncle Butch, okay? He's not related by blood, but he's known
me all
my
life. Was his real name Butch?
His name's Butch.
What is that short for?
That's his name, Butch
Uncle.
Craig. Uncle
okay.
Butch. And he is in the Albany area.
Yeah.
He's lived in the same place for 42 years.
I got an uncle like that, too.
And my dad came, and I got to take him back to the airport yesterday, and he went back to South Dakota. But my dad came and hung out with them. They're buddies from the Army.
Yeah.
And they're putting everything up. Yeah,
yeah,
putting everything up for sale and having an estate sale. And their realtor said, you know, your price point and with the land and everything on the outside of Albany, it will sell fast, and it'll probably be a bidding war.
Yeah.
That's where we're at right now with trying to buy
nice.
Real estate. So I want
nice.
To encourage you, if you need someone to help you, you're thinking, oh, I might want to sell, get a hold of Dave and Paige Smith, Realty One Group in Willamette Valley. They're ready to go above and beyond to serve you. Give them a call, 503-939-7099. And a few events coming up this weekend. Don't forget Life Chain. That's on Sunday from 2:30 to 3:30.
Where's that going to be?
And, oh, there's going to be a Life Chain on Lancaster.
Mm-hmm.
Also in Staten on First Street. So Lancaster Drive, Staten on First Street, Broadway and Liberty. And now, also announced yesterday, they're going to do it in Independence.
Oh, really?
Yes. So
nice.
You
nice.
Can pick up your signs starting at 1:30 at People's Church, Salem Evangelical, and Calvary Lutheran Church. And if you need more information, Facebook.com, Salem Right to Life. And
perfect.
Of course, 40 Days for Life continuing on from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. each and every day at Planned Parenthood. And so 40daysforlife.com/Salem. You can get involved with that. And one thing I found out I could start talking about too, coming around the corner, October 17th, our friend Baron Robinson with Kicking Cancer.
Who?
Baron.
Who?
Who's Baron?
I like Baron.
Oh, and it is kind of like, where's Waldo? Baron is like so
everywhere.
Active in the community and
yeah.
such a great leader for Kicking Cancer. And I just joined the board.
Did
I'm
you?
So excited to be a part of this program because I just lost 3 weeks ago a really good friend. In fact, the radio station I work for in South Dakota, his wife passed away of cancer. And so it is something that's affecting so many lives. Well, they're having a memorial loving run walk, Salem-Kaiser Volcano Stadium on October 17th. 8 a.m. is check-in. Your team of 12, and you can get T-shirts if you want to honor a loved one and that kind of thing, you can get
those
involved.
Those pink T-shirts that Baron
yeah,
has?
Yeah, and depending on what the cancer is, there's different colors. So you
okay.
can have your own T-shirt. It could be orange, pink, whatever, symbolizing, you know, the cancer contended with your loved one.
Shy
and,
lilac.
Mm.
You know what color that is?
No idea.
Yep. Shy, look that up
is
one
like
of these
a
days.
Purple?
Yeah, kind of.
Kind of a pinky purple color.
I don't know why. It just came to my mind. Shy lilac. I remember that from years ago.
Sounds,
I'm a strange person.
Sounds like a painting color.
Sure, okay.
I'm going to paint my house shy lilac.
You know, his sister, Brenda, is going to be out here for that.
For this occasion.
She's going to be on my show, I think, that following week.
Fantastic. Yeah. So if people want to get involved, kickingcancer.org/programs. And I'll also throw out there on November 1st, I'm going to participate as a golfer in their golfathon at
Topgolf.
No. I don't even putt really golf, but
I
apparently
either.
I went to this training thing the other day and they said you don't have to be a golfer to do Topgolf. It's like
really?
A combination of a driving range and bowling. Okay.
Really?
So I'm wondering,
is there any food going to be served there?
Oh, yes. Food and fun and
now we're talking.
100 golf balls you get to hit. And there's like, it's kind of like interactive. It's like a digital, you know, where you hit it. And if you hit it in this, you get points and you win things. And I'm like, okay, that sounds fun. But then
I never understood golfing. Mm. You stand there, you have as a baseball bat and you club a little ball, then you got to go look for it.
I know.
You know?
Yeah.
I'd hire somebody to go look for it for me.
I'm already in talks and negotiation with my Terry.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if I bring you along, because I just don't see myself hitting 100 of them.
Yeah.
But would you help me out, pal?
Yeah. And I'll hit
like,
two, you hit the rest.
I want to be mingling and talking to people. and so we'll see about that. But certainly, I want to set up a time to go up and practice so at least I have a little knowledge of what I'm doing. But no, I've never really gotten into the sport of golfing, and I'm sure our listeners golf.
My wife's into bowling.
Oh.
And she'll sit there and she'll throw the bowling ball down the alley. Then she turns around and walks back. Like, you didn't even see if you hit anything. And I don't bowl either. Sometimes when I would like throw it, when I used to bowl, it would bounce to a different lane or something. And I just, I'm not into bowling.
You know what's hard for me is I played fast pitch softball.
Now there we go.
For too many years that when I go to bowl, I think I'm pitching or something, you know, throwing it down the way. And we were part of a bowling team with the Harley.
Yeah.
We had a big bowling league with all of our Harley riders 2 years ago. And I just went for the fun and social. But every once in a while I do all right, but I didn't do so good. I'm not.
Unless I cheat, when I cheat, I can do pretty good. When I used to be able to keep score yourself.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, but now that they have this, I can't.
So. You're accountable now,
yeah,
right?
Okay. Yes. Hey, we were talking before the last break about the salary of the president. I did look it up.
Oh, yeah, what is
it's
that?
It's $400,000 per year, and he has an expensive account of $50,000. Do you know that he has to buy his own toilet paper?
Wow.
They have to pay for their own toilet paper? I didn't know that.
Well, it keeps you accountable.
Well, apparently it does. And then once he leaves office, he has a $5 million a year salary. It's a pension that he gets
for
the rest of his life, $5 million a year. And this president has never collected a dime from his salary. He donates it.
So you are telling me Jimmy Carter, Clinton, both Bushes, for the love.
Yeah.
$5 million. No
$5 million
wonder we
a
have
year.
A deficit.
$5 million.
And let alone Congress. I guess my understanding is if anybody served in Congress, they also have some sort of pension. I'm not sure what that is.
But outrageous.
It's you know, your time served, it just blows my mind.
Now, you know what happens when we leave here at this radio station? You know what we get?
A handshake and
not even any donuts. I'm still upset over that. No donuts. Can I tell you a quick story?
Yeah,
I know we only have a couple minutes later there. That a lady has Richard Nixon's sandwich from 60 years ago.
Mm.
Now, why you would want that, I don't know. But apparently she was just a small young girl, and Richard Nixon was doing this speech on September 22nd in 1960, and he left part of his sandwich in the restaurant there, and she grabbed it and took it home and put it in the freezer, and it's still in the freezer. Her husband says that a couple times he's wanted to throw it out. She will not allow him to throw it out, and they're going to hang on to his sandwich.
Nixon's sandwich. For the love. I wonder what the value of that is.
I've got George Bush's jelly beans. Remember he loved jelly beans?
Oh, that's
I got
right.
one.
Okay, well, do you have more random facts?
Because we're going into, do I ever.
We're going to go into hour two, and
do
I think
I
we
ever.
Should hit some of these.
All right, you got
it. That's great. News that you can use for sure on this Friday, Random Friday. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We'll be back for hour two coming up next.